The final chapter, chapter 9 of Hilchus Avodim, the Laws of Slaves, this chapter contains 8 halachas dealing with various laws which concern the acquisition of non-Jewish slaves, the disposition of his non-Jewish slaves that are one's property, and various rules concerning how one makes use of non-Jewish slaves. Halacha Aleph, Yisrael Shaba al Shifra Knanis, a Jew who had intercourse with a non-Jewish female slave, afal pi shehishiv chosoi, even though it may be his own female slave with whom he had intercourse, nevertheless, the children do not inherit his free Judaism, hareza havlad knani lechol dover, and the offspring of such a mating are considered non-Jewish for all intents and purposes. They are considered non-Jewish slaves. V'nimkar, v'nikne, and they can be, they have none of the rights of Jewish slaves. They can be sold and they can be purchased. U'mishtamshim boi li'oilam, and they are kept as slaves. They do not go out free at any time automatically. They are kept as slaves forever, and one can use them as servants forever. Kishar ha'avodim, just as any other slaves, even though their fathers may be a free Jew, nevertheless, they are non-Jewish slaves. Halacha beis, echot hakoine eved knani mi Yisrael. The same laws apply to any non-Jewish slaves, whether one purchased a non-Jewish slave from a Jew who owned him, oimin ger toishav, or he purchased a non-Jewish slave from a non-Jew who lives among the Jews and has taken upon himself the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, oy min goy shehu kovush tachas yodeinu, or if he purchased a non-Jewish slave from a goy, from a non-Jew who is living in the land of Israel, he has not taken any Judaism upon himself, and he has not taken any mitzvahs upon himself, but he lives in the land of Israel at a time when Jews are the masters of the land of Israel and Goyim are subjugated to the Jews, or if he buys from a slave from any other nation, and a member, a non-Jew who is a member of any other nation, may sell himself to a Jew, le'evet, to become the slave of this Jew. In any of these cases, v'harehu evet knani lechol dover, no matter how the slave was acquired, he is an evet knani, a non-Jewish slave for all intents and purposes. And all the laws that we have learned and will learn concerning non-Jewish slaves apply to him. And similarly, a goy can sell his sons or daughters to a Jew, and they will become slaves of the Jew. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Mehem tiknu, from them, from the goyim, you may purchase umi mishpachtam, or from their families." That means a person can sell, a non-Jew can sell his sons and daughters, asheri mochem, those who will be among you, you can purchase from them, asher hoylidu baritzachem, and any children which to whom they give birth in your land, in the land of Israel, you can purchase them as slaves. V'chol echad meyelu, harei ukevet knani l'chol dover, and any one of these people who was purchased as a slave is a non-Jewish slave for all intents and purposes. Halacha gimel, echad min ha'umis, any goy shebo al shivcha knanis shalonu, who had intercourse with a non-Jewish slave who belonged to one of us, who belonged to a Jew, harei haben evet knani, the offspring here does not become a free goy. The offspring is a slave of the owner of that female slave. He owns all the offspring, and he is a non-Jewish slave. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Asher hoylidu be'artzachem, any to whom they will give birth in your land will be your slaves." Aval ha'evet shalonu, however, a slave who belongs to one of us, a non-Jewish slave who belongs to a Jew, sheba al achas min ha'umis, this was a male slave, and he had intercourse with some non-Jewish woman, ein ha'ben evet, the offspring of such a mating is not a slave. Shenemar, the pasuk says, asher hoylidu ba'artzachem, children to whom they will give birth in your land. The eved ein lo yachas. And here, the slave, we cannot acquire the offspring because the slave, our slave, is his father, because a slave does not have any relation with his children. The slave is not considered to be the father of his children. Halacha Dalet, Melech Goy, a non-Jewish king, She'osa Milchama, who went out to war, and he captured captives, Behevi Shivya, and he brought the captives back, Umochra, and he was selling the captives whom he had captured, the prisoners whom he had taken, V'chein, Imhirsha L'chol Misha Yirtze. Similarly, if the king gave permission that whoever desires Sheyelech V'yignoiv Ma'uma Shehi Oisa Imay Melchama, that whoever, any person who lives in this kingdom, can go out and steal and kidnap people from some other kingdom that's making war upon us, Sheyavi V'yimcha La'atzmai, and such a person, whomever he captures from that other kingdom, he can bring them back and sell them as if they were his own property, v'cheinim hoyu dinov, and similarly, if the laws of the local king were, shekol misha lo yitin amas yimocher, that whoever does not pay his taxes will be sold as a slave, oy misha osa kach v'kach, oy lo yasa, or the king decreed that whoever will do such and such thing, or who will fail to do a certain thing, yimocher, will be sold as a slave, harei dinov din, following the rule, that dina de malchusa dina, that whatever laws the legitimately constituted government makes are considered laws and recognized even by the Torah, harei din of din, the laws decreed by this king are recognized as laws, ve'eved hanilkach bedinim elu, and any slave that is purchased by a Jew under any one of these laws made by the king, by the non-Jewish king, he has actually acquired him as a slave, and he is a non-Jewish slave for all intents and purposes, and all the laws apply to him. If a goy purchased another goy as a slave, he has not actually acquired possession of the person of that slave. He only owns the profit and the income and the work that the slave will do, but he does not actually own the person of the slave. Afal pikein, and nevertheless, even though he does not actually own the person of the slave, in mochra liYisrael, if such a non-Jewish master sold the slave to a Jew, harei gufu kondi liYisrael, the Jew has nevertheless acquired ownership of the person of the slave, even though he purchased him from a master who did not own his person. Haloche yud, ha'isha koinesh shifachis, a woman can purchase and acquire female slaves, ve'ena koina avodim, but she is not permitted to purchase male slaves, afilu ketanim, even if they are young boys, mipnei hachshad, so that people will not suspect her that she is acquiring male slaves for immoral purposes. V'im konsoisam, however, if she transgressed this rule and she did purchase such slaves, harei zu konsa gufam ki'ish, she has acquired ownership of their person just as if she were a man and had purchased them. V'yeroeli, the Rambam says that in my opinion, it is she'eino asura liknais elo eved ben teshonim umitesha shonim ulama, that the only prohibition here of her purchasing a male slave, whom we said even if they were young boys, she might not purchase them, if it was a boy, a slave, who was 9 years old or more than 9 years, but less than 9 years, we are not worried that people will suspect them, because boys who are less than 9 years old are not capable of having intercourse. V'chein osa l'odam l'shacher eved knani, and by similar rules, it is forbidden to any person to set free a non-Jewish slave. V'chol ha-meshachroi, and anyone who sets free his non-Jewish slave, oiver ba'asei, has transgressed a positive mitzvah, shenemar, because a posuk requires, la'olam behem tavoidu, you shall be masters over them, you shall keep them as your slaves forever. V'im shichroi, however, if he transgressed this and he did set him free, mishuchrar, he is set free, k'moshe beyarnu, he goes free as we have already stated in chapter 5. V'choifin oisei lichten get shichroi b'chol advarim shabeyarnu, and if he set the slave free, we obligate the master to write a document that sets him free, b'chol hadrochim shebeyarnu, according to all the rules and regulations which we have stated above. And umuta l'shachrei l'dvar mitzvah. And even though we have stated that it's forbidden to set a non-Jewish slave free, but if it's needed for a mitzvah, he's permitted to set him free. Afilu l'mitzvah shel divreihem. Even if it's needed for a mitzvah that is decreed only by rabbinical requirement, even so, if we need him to fulfill such a mitzvah, we can set him free. Kegoyim shaloi hoyu asara bebeis haknesses. For example, if there were no 10 Jews, there were no minyan in the shul, there were 9 Jews plus the slave, hareze meshachrer avdoi, the master can set this slave free, umashlim by haminyan, and he can do it for the purpose of completing a minyan. And even though the requirement for prayer with a minyan is only by rabbinical decree, nevertheless, for the purpose of complying with this rabbinical decree, he may set the slave free. V'chen kol kayetzi b'zeh. In any similar case where he needs the slave for a minyan, where he needs a slave for a mitzvah, and he could not use him as a slave. V'chen shivcha. Shenoyagim b'ha'o min ha'kefker. And similarly, a female slave who is mistreated by the ordinary people, people are mistreating her and sexually abusing her because she is a slave. Baharehi mikshir lachoitim, and this is a stumbling block for sinners. Koifim es rabba, we force the owner, umeshachrera, and he must set her free. Kedesha tinosei, so that she will get married like any decent woman. Veyosa hamikshel, and this stumbling block which causes sinning will be removed. V'chein kol kayetzi b'zeh, and so any similar case where there is some necessity to set the slave free, it may be done. Halocha zayin, yochel harav, loy maliavdei knani, the master who owns a non-Jewish slave can say to his non-Jewish slave the following stipulation: Aseimi, you will work for me as a slave is required to work for his master, and I refuse to feed you. Even though we learned that in the case of a Jewish slave, the master is required to feed him and his wife and his children, but he is not required to feed his non-Jewish slave. What should the non-Jewish slave do? Ela yelech v'yishol al ha'psochim. The non-Jewish slave should go around begging at the doors, v'yisparnis min ha'tzedakah, and support himself from tzedakah. She Yisrael mitzuvim l'hachis ha'avodim shebeinayhem. And how do we know that he will obtain tzedakah? Because Jews are required to give tzedakah not only to free Jews, but also to slaves among them who are in need. Bamed varim amurim. When does this law apply that the master can refuse to feed his slaves? Ba'avodov, when the master refuses to free his own slaves, to feed his own slaves, she'im bezdin niskokin ligdeilim mishmei mamoinam. In a case where it is his own slave, and the owner is over bar mitzvah, he is an adult, and he knows what he's doing, so bezdin will not interfere here to protect a grown person's slaves. Bezdin will not interfere. V'yim lo yachil avodav, and if the master does not feed the slaves, v'yashkeim, and give them to drink, karoi, as would be ordinarily be expected of him, heim yivrichu, they will escape, they will flee, they'll run away from him, or yamusu, or they'll starve to death. And therefore, Bezdin need not interfere here. V'odam chos al momin atzmai, because Bezdin can rely on the fact that a person takes care of his own money. And if he sees that the slaves are likely to run away, or that they're likely to die, he will make sure to feed them. And Bezdin needn't interfere here to protect his property. Aval avodim shehichnisa loy ishtei b'teiras nichsei malug, but slaves that are not actually his property, slaves that he acquired because they were his wife's property, and now he has taken over the use of these slaves on account of the marriage, but the actual body of the slaves remains the property of the woman. Chayiv b'mezayne sehem. The master, the husband, is required to feed them. Shalmenaskein dichnisoisa, because they are not his actual property that he can refuse to feed them and cause them to die or to run away. For this purpose, she brought them into the marriage and gave them to him so that he will protect and preserve them. If he doesn't feed them, they will die or they will escape. And in this type of property, nisei malog, as we learned in Hilchas Ishas, the husband will not be required to pay for them if they died or ran away. And therefore, in order to protect the property of the woman from what her husband might do negligently, Bezdin will interfere and will force the master to feed these slaves. Even though we have learned that it's forbidden to put unduly hard labor upon a Jewish slave, but he's permitted to oppress and cause non-Jewish slaves to work even very hard. And even though the law permits him to do so, midas chassidus, the custom among Hasidim, that is those who do more than what the letter of the law requires, v'darkei chochma, and the ways of wisdom, that is the ways that people will follow who follow the path of wisdom, sheyia odam rachman, that appears. This requires that a person should be merciful, and he must pursue justice, and he will not make the yoke too heavy upon his slave, even a non-Jewish slave, and he will not cause him suffering, and he will feed him, and he will give him to drink, from every food and every drink that he himself eats and drinks. Chachomim harishoinim, the original sages, the sages of old, they would give to a slave a part, a portion of every cooked food that they were eating, and they would make sure to feed the animals and the slaves before they themselves would eat. And indeed, so the Pasuk says that the master is to be beneficent to his slaves. The Pasuk says, just as the eyes of the slaves are turned to their master to be merciful, and just as a female slave turns her eyes to her mistress to be merciful to her, so we pray that God should, that we turn ourselves to God to be merciful to us. And therefore, we learn from this that the master has to be merciful to the slave. And similarly, lo yivzehu biyad v'lo bidvarim, he should not disgrace the slave, neither by doing actual deed nor with words. The pasuk, the Torah, permits one to own a slave, to keep him as a slave, but not to embarrass or disgrace him. Nor shall he yell and scream at him very much, nor get very angry at him. He shall speak slowly and gently to him, and he shall listen to any complaints that the slave has. And so, when the Torah speaks about Eov, and tells of his good deeds and his good ways, his ways in which he was praised, he said, to praise himself in Emas Mishpat Avdi, he said, I did not despise the justice done to my slave, that is, I was careful to do just things to my slave, Ba'amosi and my female slave, Beriva Mimodi, when they had some complaint against me. Haloi Babetin Oiseini Osahu, because we are both children of the same parent. That is, we are both children of God. Both the master and the slave are children of God. And cruelty and severity are not Jewish ways. Cruelty and severity are found only among the goyim who worship idols. But we Jews, the descendants of our father Avram, the Haim Yisrael, that means the Jews, to whom God, the Holy One, blessed be He, has given all the good that is in the Torah, and He has commanded us with laws and commandments that are just, Rachmonim Heim Al HaKoyel, such people, that is the Jewish people who have such a good Torah and are the children of Avraham Avinu, we are merciful to all. V'chein b'midoisef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so also we find in the ways in which God Himself acts, Shetivonu Lehidyam Mispahem, and He has commanded us to follow His ways, as we learned in Hilchis Deis, Hu Oimer, concerning God's ways, which we have to follow. The Pasuk says, Verachmov Al Kol Masav, His mercy is on all His creatures, all the things that He has made, even a slave. V'chol ha-merachim, and anyone who is merciful to others, merachimim olav, others are merciful to him, and God is merciful to him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'nosan l'cho rachmim, God will give you mercy, v'richamcha, and He will be merciful to you, v'hirbecha, and He will cause you to increase. And so here the Rambam completes Hilchis Avodim, and also the whole Sefer of Kinyin,